In the name of Jesus, who rose triumphant from the grave, your fellow redeemed. Tell me, is there a day more glorious to be here in God's house than Easter Sunday morning? To be here with your fellow believers, listening to the angel say in the gospel lesson, "He's not here, he's risen, see where they laid him." To see with your eyes the cross dressed in white, to smell the fragrance of Easter lilies, to sing the favorite hymns with the brass and the timpani playing. Man, what a great day to be alive, to be here in God's house on Easter morning. And yet, just for a minute, I want you to imagine how you would feel if there wasn't an Easter Sunday morning. What if the life story of a man named Jesus of Nazareth ended the way everybody else's life ends, with his death? Would you have anything to celebrate today? I mean, I guess we could celebrate his life, kind of like people have a celebration of life when somebody dies, right? We could reminisce about all the wonderful things Jesus did, how he fed the hungry and healed the sick. We could talk about how he taught people how to love one another. We could even talk about how he said he would rescue people from hell and sin forever. And we could even be inspired by his death, that even when he was on the cross, he cared for his mother and he forgave his enemies. And he promised paradise to a repentant criminal. But if that's where it all ends, how is Jesus any different than any other great and noble religious leader? I mean, Confucius said a lot of really great things too. And Mother Teresa helped a lot of other people. And Buddha promised a better life to come. And the bodies of all those people are laying in a grave somewhere. If Jesus' body is also laying in a grave somewhere, do we have any hope at all? I mean, certainly we could still use Jesus' life as an example for us, but when it comes to life after death, do we have any hope? Did you hear what the Apostle Paul said? If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Isn't that the truth? If we have no hope of life after death, because not even Jesus attained life after death, then where's our hope? If Jesus is dead, so is our hope. But Jesus is not dead. We announced moments ago, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. It's that fact. That historic fact, that fact that is substantiated by corroborated eyewitness testimony, it is that fact that turned a handful of frightened followers hiding behind locked doors into a band of bold apostles proclaiming the reality of a resurrected Lord to the ends of the earth. It's that fact, yes, that resurrection reality that we're here to celebrate today. But I got to say, we're not really going to focus on what happened a long time ago on Easter Sunday. We're going to focus on what all that means for our lives today. And the Apostle Paul is going to help us do that as he asks the question, what does Easter mean? Paul tells us it means two things. It means believers rise, and it means Jesus reigns. First, Easter means believers rise. In other words, there's a connection between what happened to Jesus on Easter and what will happen to those who trust in him on their final day. There's a connection. There's a cause and effect. In fact, That's one of the things that makes Jesus' resurrection truly unique. Right? Think about it. Down through history, there have been a lot of resurrections, right? In the pages of Scripture, in the Old Testament, right, you've got the prophet Elijah raising the son of the woman of Zarephath back from the dead, and Elisha then raises the child of the Shunammite woman, and then in the New Testament, you got Jesus raising the man from Nain and the daughter of Jairus, and then, of course, Lazarus after he was dead for 3 days. And yet all of those resurrections are different from Jesus' resurrection in two important ways. First of all those other resurrections were in effect temporary. They all came back to life and they lived for a while and then they died again. Jesus' resurrection is not temporary. When Jesus came alive, he is alive forever. But more importantly, all of those resurrections impacted the person who died and his family, I guess, but all those resurrections don't really affect us. We might say about those accounts, oh, that's good for them, but it's not really good for me. Jesus' resurrection is not just good for Jesus, it's good for all of us. Our resurrection is connected to Jesus' resurrection. Isn't that what Jesus said? Because I live, you also will live. There's a cause and effect here. Because Jesus lives, we live. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul speaks about in our text for today in kind of a unique way. He describes it this way. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does that mean? That Christ's resurrection represent the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Well, if you are a gardener, you know what it means to wait for those tomato vines to start setting tomatoes, and you wait for them to grow, and you wait for them to one of them to become ripe, and when you pick that first ripe tomato, you know this is not the only one I'm going to get. It's just the first one, and there's going to be a whole lot more to follow. That's what Jesus' resurrection means. It's the first of many resurrections to follow. In fact, in the Old Testament, God established a festival of first fruits. He taught the children of Israel to bring their first sheaf of grain as an expression of trust that God was going to have them receive many more to follow. And that festival of first fruits always landed on the first Sunday after Passover. You know what day the first Sunday after Passover is? It's today. Yeah. What we now know is Easter Sunday. God fulfilled that Old Testament festival on Easter Sunday by having Jesus, the first fruits, rise from the dead to prove that there are going to be many more resurrections to follow. And when will those resurrections occur? Well, Paul tells us. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, who is the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. In other words, it's not like there's going to be all these different resurrections down through the centuries. And it's not like there's going to be, you know, resurrection of believers and then 1,000 years later, the resurrection of the unbelievers. No, it's all going to happen on one day. The last day, when Jesus will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. That's what the prophet Daniel was talking about when he said, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, on Judgment Day, there will be a bit of a double resurrection. Some will be raised to go to heaven, and some will be raised to go to hell. And recognize that resurrection will not simply be a spiritual resurrection. It'll be a resurrection of bodies, right? I mean, when a believer dies, that person's soul goes immediately to be with God, just as happened with Jesus on the cross. When he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," right? At that moment, his soul went to be with God. His body waited to go into the grave. On Easter Sunday morning, that soul and body were reunited, and that resurrected Lord is now able to walk and talk and eat and laugh, just like will happen to you when God puts your soul and body back together on the last day and installs you into a new heaven and a new earth where you will live in the presence of God forever. Man, I cannot wait. But now someone might say, that's great, you know, to know that believers someday are going to go to heaven, but what does it have to do with my life now? I mean, I look at my life and it's hard. I'm struggling with things. I look at our world and it's all messed up. What does Easter mean for me today? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that too. What does Easter mean? Yeah, it means believers will rise, but it also means Jesus reigns. Isn't that the truth? Think about it. If Jesus is a superhero who's still dead, he can't help us. But he's not still dead. He is no longer the suffering servant. Now he's the triumphant king. And as a king, he is now reigning. In fact, Paul puts it this way: Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. What does St. Paul mean by that? The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Well, think about it this way. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, the penalty for our sins is death. But when Jesus died on the cross for all, he paid the penalty for us. And so now for believers, death is no longer the penalty for sin. Death is now the way that God takes the souls of believers to heaven. In that sense, Jesus has transformed death from something bad into something that God uses for our eternal good. That's what allowed the Apostle Paul to say, "For to me, to live is Jesus, and to die is gain." And yet, let's recognize that even though Jesus has transformed death into something good for believers, he has not yet completely destroyed it. You realize what that means. It means that as you and I, as long as we live in this world, we're going to still have to deal with death and dying, whether it's ourselves or our loved ones. And even when we're Christians, and even when we're burying fellow Christians, and even when we know where they're going, that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It does. We shed tears as we think about what we've lost. But Jesus says the day is coming when those tears will end forever. It's the day when the last enemy is destroyed. and that's death. That day comes when God calls his believers to home in heaven forever. St. John describes it. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. My friends, you can be sure that between that day and this day, Jesus reigns. He's reigning over three different kingdoms. He reigns over the kingdom of grace. That's the one in your hearts where he assures you of his love and forgiveness with his word and sacrament. He reigns over a kingdom of power. That's the entire world that looks like it's often out of control, but Jesus is still in charge. He's still on his throne. He's still using the things of our world for our benefit. And he reigns over a kingdom of glory. That's heaven, where the souls of the believers who have gone before us are now experiencing life with God forever. My friends, this is what Easter means. It means that believers rise and Jesus reigns. And you can be sure that that is not simply wishful thinking. It's not fake news. It's not virtual reality. It's not artificial intelligence. It is resurrection reality. It's God's truth for your life. And you can be sure of it because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.